You're listening to another episode of HR Talk featuring Ricky Baez. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back once again, and thank you for coming back. Just like Rick said in last show, this week we're going to get into that comparison of the culture of trust versus the culture of fear. Dialing all the way in from sunny Orlando, Florida, where it is not time for the June gloom. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ricky. How you doing, brother?
Jim, I'm doing good. And you?
I don't know. It's been a long week. I've been missing a lot of this back and forth that you and I do. It seems like it was just minutes ago, you know?
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
And by the way, I don't know about the sunny Florida. It is really cloudy here right now. All the way from cloudy Florida.
It's all right. You definitely have a little bit more sun down there than we do up here in the Northeast.
Right.
Hey, once again, can't thank everyone out there in the Twitter world enough for picking up on the podcast and running forward. Our supporters over there on Facebook, Biasco appreciates you. Isn't that right, Rick?
Absolutely. I got Global Risk Tech. Thank you very much for following us. The same thing with Jason Buss. Thank you for following us on Twitter. And Anthony Iannarino, I do apologize if I completely massacred your name, but Anthony Iannarino, I got it. Yes, thank you very much for following us and keeping contact. You're going to see a lot more content coming out.
Excellent. And once again, to anyone out there, a direct message or a tweet at us, whatever you desire, let us know a topic you want to cover in a upcoming show. More than happy to oblige. Today, we're going to focus on that culture of trust versus the culture of fear. Rick, in a fear-based workplace, it seems that everyone might be more focused on their daily goals, okay? Because you know, like I do, if they miss a goal, they could be missing a paycheck. They could be let go. Am I wrong?
You're not. No, it's they do focus on goals, but they kind of focus on them the wrong way. So it's culture fear. It works for some organizations, but not others. So in the Marine Corps, yeah, that works, right? But when it comes to a regular organization with civilians involved, it just doesn't. It doesn't create the mentality that a business needs to actually take the organization from A to B. So, culture of fear is a big issue out there right now. Does it exist? Absolutely. And there's more cultures where employees go to work and they're just fearful about everything that happens at work than employees that are not.
You've got a brand new leader, a brand new CEO pushing in. We're going to have that culture of trust. Things are positive. We've been down having our coffee talks. Things are great. We're heading down a new path. We've got the frozen middle in place. We're trying to overcome them. And our certain employee base buys in with our leader. That they're all behind the leader. They want to see this cultural change, but they can't get to it because of the problems in the middle. And now we have that culture of fear, that fear-based environment. People are afraid to tell you the truth. You get that employee one-on-one as a leader, they're probably going to talk to you. They're going to open up. They're going to share things as long as they know it's a safe and trustworthy environment. When it's not, we have some problems. How do we combat that culture of fear inside that bubble of the culture of trust, Rick?
So it's before we can figure out how we can combat it, let's take a look at what do you get with a culture of fear?
Please.
So three things that I've locked down that happens in a culture of fear. The first one is ideas don't flourish. You've got employees who got some great ideas, but because they have either a manager or a director in the organization who just keeps shooting them down and talking down to employees, so employees kind of keep those ideas to themselves.
Yeah.
So it defeats the whole purpose of having the employee there, because you hire an employee, you pay them X amount of dollars a year for a talent that they have that you need, that you're willing to pay for, and you're not letting them exhibit those talents. It just doesn't make sense. So ideas don't flourish. then you have employees who don't trust each other, so they start working against each other. The whole idea of a team and an organization is so that they can work together. So like you said earlier, you're absolutely right. People do get some work done, but at other employees' expense. So there's a lot of silos. There's no partnership. So the employee starts working against each other.
And this kind of goes back to something you were saying in one of our previous shows, too, that as we build the culture of trust, transparency in the communication becomes key. No longer is it the rumor mill that has the primary word about those closed-door meetings. Now it's the transparency from the top down. Everyone knows exactly what's going on, right?
Whether it's good or bad.
Right.
So you can't be afraid of sharing bad information, either up or down. So you have to be okay with that. But Jim, the third piece that really creates a culture of fear, and this one annoys me, man, like nobody's business, is employees adopt a clock in, clock out mentality. Here's what I mean by that. And first of all, let me separate this from the legal aspect. If there's any lawyers listening, they're probably pulling their hair out. So it's clock in. Obviously, you got to clock in if you're hourly employee. You got to clock out for the work that you do. But what I mean by that is completely different. Is when employees do just enough not to get fired. They just go into work, they clock in, they just do whatever it is that they do, no motivation, no type of enthusiasm behind their actions, and they just can't wait for that 5 o'clock to come. 4:59, they're just looking, they're not focusing on what they're doing, they're just focusing on that clock, and they clock out. Have you ever seen an employee, Jim, that goes into work? Let's say they're supposed to be in there at, I don't know, 8 a.m., and they get there at 7:50, and they just sit there not doing a damn thing, and they're just waiting to clock in and just start working? They're absent any policy that says, hey, you can't do anything before your scheduled shift. They're just sitting there. It's just no ambition.
Yeah,
no.
There was a guy this one thing, something about TPS reports, a guy stopped by his cube, his coworker smashed the printer. I've seen something similar in ways.
Yeah, there was a red stapler involved in there somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
That happens quite a bit. That really does happen quite a bit. And they adopt that mentality. Jim, these are the people that, I don't know if you're familiar with FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act.
Yes. That's what people take when they need to go do things in their private time.
Yeah, correct. Right.
Right, so, like a vacation or a cruise, right?
Right. So that's what ends up happening sometimes. But these are the folks that they show up to work and they sneeze, and all of a sudden they got FML paperwork and they're out for 12 weeks. And that's what I'm talking about. And it's not everybody, but it does exist and it does happen.
Can we take a side jaunt real quick here? So going back a few years at one of my previous employers, on lunchtime, I went down to this place down the road, and they had this guy with a tow behind trailer, and he's cooking chicken, right? And I was the first guy buying food from him that day, and the chicken was it was a nice wet chicken, but I was real hungry, so I went with it. And I don't know if it was cooked all the way. Yeah, I didn't feel good in the after chow, and I wound up falling out in the workplace, right? I'm on the ground, you know, and I was in the hospital for a few days after. Who cares about HIPAA right now? I'm sharing. We're bonding.
Okay, got it.
And it turned out I had the salmonella. You know, don't let your chicken get funky. How about that funky chicken, right? Yeah, no, that was happening. That was right in my belly, man, let me tell you. So I was, but I was at that time for that employer, I was carrying a healthy leave balance, you know, vacation time, or depending on how your employer calls it, right? And I just took time on my own. And then the paperwork started coming in, you know, fill this out, workplace incident, you know, we got to do this, file this, do that. And it's like, holy crap. You know, I was more fearful in that environment trying to fill out paperwork. I drafted up letters and sent them back to like everyone in line. And I was like, I'm already back at work. I'm perfectly fine. I took 2 days sick. I had bad
poopies. Why bother? Why bother at this point, right?
Yeah, I had bad poopies. My bad. You know, it was like, holy smokes, why bother? But it's that culture of fear in a way that other employees are led to say, okay, I'll fill out that documentation. I'll do what you have to say. I'll do it this way. Now, it's 5 p.m. I got to get out of here. And then they're straight down to the bar. They're straight over here. They run back home. They can't. They sweat the anger that is in their heart and souls. But then we have that cultural change coming. You know, a little side joke there. I had to talk about the funky chicken, Rick.
I would have loved to have you just finish the FML process, because I would have loved to seen that approval letter that says you are approved for family medical leave for this day to this day for having the poopies. That would be a letter. That would be awesome.
Could you please explain your salmonella poisoning? Oh, well, get into it a little bit now.
Jim, having the poopies is a perfectly relevant medical term. Poopies. Got it. That's FML is a whole nother program. Trust me, I got some funny stories there.
But a culture of fear can force you into filling out paperwork you don't want to. It can. You got to stand up for yourself. Believe in the new leader and the new way, right?
But think about that. You're touching on something here, because if you, depending on the organization, FML, you don't get paid for it unless you got PTO or sick time available. Let's say you don't. The whole point of FML is to protect your job while you're out. But think about that for a second. You hate your job so much that you're willing to take up to 12 weeks without being paid. Yet you hate it, but you're worried about it enough that you file for paperwork to protect you from being fired from the job that you hate.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Not
but,
at all.
But again, a whole nother program.
Yes.
But you are correct. That's part of that culture of fear, Jim. So going back to your question, how do you stop that from happening? Right. We've talked about that in several episodes, but to really hone in is to just have a conversation with your employees. And look, Jim, and I know I say that a lot, but at the end of the day, it really is about talking to them, right? Talking to your employees as they're human beings, talking to your employees as they have a life, as focusing on the H of HR, not necessarily just for work, but making them feel like they belong in the organization. That's one of the things.
And a note, though, to the employees that are listening. Naja, I know we do have a lot of leaders and CEOs that chime in and help out with the show, but to just employees that might find themselves in a situation where they feel that they may be in that fear-based workplace and environment, and they start to wonder, you know, is there anything that they can do about it apart from just quitting the job? Think back to me and my funky chicken episode. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for yourself and your coworkers. You have a right to do so. Speak your mind. Do it appropriately, especially if that CEO is building the culture of trust and has the open door. That transparent communication both ways in our circle of life discussion here is essential. It's key, man. Absolutely.
It is, Jim. And I know if any employee that goes into any organization and they're fearful and they want to go ahead and speak up and say something, be careful with that. Here's why I always focus on CEOs and not employees. Not that I don't care about employees, but the people who can do something about it are not employees, are the people in charge. Because if one employee stands up and says, this is wrong, this is not supposed to be happening this way, ABC needs to happen. If you have a lot of leaders who just don't want to listen, you're going to have a hard time there. You are going to have a hard time. And that employee has a choice to make. Either they stay in that organization or they leave. And if you got a rock star that leaves, look, if you are a leader who employs a culture of fear, two things are going to happen. Your rock stars are going to leave, and the people who do just enough not to get fired because they know they're not going to get any other opportunity elsewhere are going to stay with you. Is that who you want? Absolutely not. You want to retain your top talent. So I'm always talking to those leaders because they are the ones who can change the tides. if we have an employee that stands up and they're always fighting against it, and the lady just doesn't want to listen to it, then you know what? Leave. If you got the means to it. I know it's easier said than done. We all got bills, right? But if you got the means for it, go somewhere else. Just go somewhere else, because eventually that organization is going to realize that talent is leaving, and it's going to hit them where it hurts, in their pockets.
Culture of trust versus culture of fear, the evolution of that culture of fear environment. Give me a few of your high-level points real quick to kind of wrap things up about how you feel things can move forward for leaders trying to tackle this one head-on.
I'll give you from both perspectives. From a leader's perspective, be open and honest with your communication with your employees. That's the first one. The second one, open up the lines of communication. If your employee has an issue, and it, regardless of where he or she is in the organization, that door needs to be open. Bring them in and listen to what they have to say. And don't come up with excuses on why we can't do anything. Obviously, they may come up with something that you just can't control, that is completely out of your scope. But listen to what they have to say. And just at the end of the day, Jim, they need to have a vested interest in the bottom line. So if you as a leader are able to communicate to the employee that what his or her job, how it affects whatever vision you have for the organization, you have an employee that will show up to work with a vested interest in the bottom line, with ambition, with a fire under their ass, because they're going to want to do that job. These are the folks that they break a leg and you have to push them out, right? They're not going to file for FMLA, although it is their right. For all your lawyers out there, they can. For all your lawyers out there. So they can go ahead and you will have to push them out, because they're not looking at the 4:59 to 5 p.m. They're looking as, I need to get this done because I have a vested interest in this project and I really want this organization to do good. Let me ask you this.
Oh, wait. Before you do, a devil's advocate time.
Here
we
go.
Ready for
go
it?
Ahead.
You ready for it?
I'm ready.
You just said all those things. I'm in the middle. I agree with everything you've said. I'm getting feedback from my employees. They're not really jiving with some stuff that I said to them. And I'm going to turn back.
Manager?
Yep, and I'm going to turn back to them in this culture of fear and tell them, you know, I agree completely with all the points that you're making, but we need to understand there's nothing I could do to change this. It's just the way it is. You just got to tolerate it. How you
as the
that?
Middle manager told your employees that?
Yep. How are you going to fight that, Rick? You're instilling a culture of trust. How are you going to fight that?
Well, don't you remember in the last episode, what do I do to those middle managers?
I don't. That was a week ago. Help
bring it. Bring them into my office and have a conversation with those. Here I go again.
Well, you got to find out. You got to find out that went around, man. You got to find out that went around. You got to find out that word was said. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. But that's where it comes back to our culture of trust and having the open door. Right,
you keep the finger on the pulse. You have that open door, and you invite anybody in the organization to come talk to you, from the janitor to your analyst to your payroll to your HR. Anybody can walk into your office and say, hey, this is messed up, and here's why it's messed up. And Jim, here's the key. You got to do something about it, right? Because if you invite people into your office, And you hear what they have to say, and you're like, I'll take care of it. Nothing gets done. That in itself is worse than you just being ignorant to the issue. So
that's straight out avoiding the blame. That's avoiding the blame right there. You got to, if you're going to change, you got to accept the blame. You got to step up. You got to have those hard talks and move forward. Just move on, right?
Move on with clear expectations.
Absolutely.
If you can't do anything about it, you can't do anything about it, right? Look, I'll tell you this. And this is a true story, Jim, a true story. I had one employee years and years ago. It was about 10, 15 years ago.
Please don't say any names. No names.
I am not. Trust me, I am not. Not on this one. Not on this one.
Okay.
I had this one employee years ago that she came into my office, and I was the HR manager at the time. And she was upset because her manager kept using the word pop to reference Soda.
Come on.
So I guess, Jim,
come on.
I kid you not. She was so upset. She was crying because she the employee who came into my office was from Florida. Her manager was from Ohio.
But you can't discriminate the person's culture just because say the word pop.
Well, I'm just saying.
Holy smokes.
Well, she's from Ohio. In Ohio, they're referenced to soda as pop, right?
Well, but that's culture. You know, you can't discriminate.
That's not protected by law, right? The law doesn't say that you got to call soda pop or Coke, whatever it is. But anyway, she was so upset, Jim, and she wanted me to mandate everybody to call soda soda and not pop. And I looked at her because she was serious. She was as serious as a heart attack. And I'm like, it's... Just so I understand, you want a rule in place to where nobody can call soda pop, and you want a policy. And if they violate that policy, you want me to write them up. She's like, absolutely, Ricky.
Wow.
Absolutely. This is crazy. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. That is ridiculous. That's not going to happen. So she and I had another conversation about how she needs to deal with that at work. Because, Jim, she was passionate about it. And in the back of my head, I'm like, why can't she be this passionate about work? Her work is shoddy. She is just barely making it. And she's so passionate about pop and soda. Take that passion and put it to work and stop worrying about pop and soda. You know? And here's the thing. She called it Coke later. And I'm like, well, wait, hold up. Is it soda? It was crazy. But anyway, so as a leader, you can't control that, right? And you're not going to entertain that. So obviously, if I was to tell her, you know what, I'll take care of it, then you know what? I failed her. I really failed her. But again, I want her to walk out of my office. I'd rather have her walk out of my office upset with the truth than happy with a lie.
Right,
because at the end of the day, she knows where I stand. And when she goes in, she knows she's going to get the right answer, albeit not the answer she wants to hear. But at the end of the day, it is going to be the right answer.
Amen. And look. Either leaders in an organization trust their employees and the employees trust the leaders, or they don't. Right.
And here's the thing. Talking about the frozen middle, if you have a manager that is really creating that culture of trust, and you know about it, you as a leader are not doing anybody any favors by keeping that manager around. You pull them aside and you recalibrate their business compass on where they want to be.
Yeah, but Rick, at the same time, a fearful CEO could be the person that accidentally surrounds themselves with yes men and yes women.
Yeah, it's... So that goes back to that. That needs to be another episode because we do need to talk about who you surround yourself with, because that is key. Because as a CEO, you're not going to have the eyes and ears that you need to have with what's going on in your organization, because you're too busy with the vision. That's exactly how it needs to be. But those senior leaders that report to you, those lieutenants that report to you, they need to be your eyes and ears that will tell you the truth 100% of the time.
Hey, Rick, so real quick, can't thank you enough for coming down today. We are a little tight on time. I'm sorry to cut you off. We do have to get moving, though. In closing, a few final thoughts, if you may.
So in closing, it's at the end of the day, folks, just open the lines of communications to your employees. Have a personal connection with them to where they feel like they belong, and communicate with them how their job affects the bottom line. And that is how you build that culture of trust.
Ricky, what are some of the best ways people out there could reach you, please? Some of the most efficient means?
The easiest way is on Twitter, is at Baezco. That is Baezco, or on Instagram, Baezco Learn, Facebook is Baezco, or email ebaez@baezco.com, or just call me or text me, send me a picture, whatever, 407-501-8425.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, HR Talk with Ricky Baez. We'll be back again next week with another episode. This was our pleasure talking about the culture of fear versus the culture of trust. Till next time.